Well, hello, Vanguard. Hope you're enjoying the summer. What's been your favourite bit of the summer? I'll tell you what my favourite bit was, Mark. I know I realised that I'm asking a question and then I'm answering it myself. You know Cheddars, the small bag of cheesy snacks?
I love Cheddars, the small bag of cheesy snacks. Yeah.
There was a reprise of a conversation which I had with Child 2 when she was like 12, and she came down in the morning. So I'm always up first. So this is like 6 or 6:30 or something. And she goes to the cupboard and she gets out a small packet of Cheddars. And I said, there is a healthier breakfast available. Isn't it too early to eat Cheddars? And she said, it's never too early to eat Cheddars. So I went on the hell site and said, when is it too early for Cheddars? And I realized that overwhelmingly, the audience agreed with Child 2 that it is never too early to eat Cheddars.
In the words, so in the words of the song, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. It's somewhere in the world. It's Cheddar time.
And the thing is, your doubts about, so even if this is like 4:30 in the morning, so you should be on, you know, a healthy kind of granola diet or something, you know, or some fruit or, you know, something to keep you going, to give you energy. But as soon as you have the first cheddar, you think, no, actually, this is the summer snack. This is what I need to get me through. And a small packet of mini cheddars is exactly the right thing to be eating at 5 in the morning.
It is a brilliant marketing device that they are called mini cheddars, because you go, you're at the pub, right? You know, I'll have a pint of lager and a packet of crisps. No, I'll have the other healthy option. I'll have a packet of mini cheddars.
Yes.
Because that's cheese, right?
That's right.
So you go.
Yeah, that's right. It's cheese. It's all natural. All very good. No artificial ingredients at all. No. And we should say we're not being sponsored by Cheddars. Though we would like to be. If
we'd like to be.
Like to get
happily
in touch.
Happily, yes.
Is it McVitie's? Anyway, so, you know, today's show is brought to you in association with Cheddars. It's never, remember, it's never too early to eat Cheddars. That should be their catchphrase. Anyway, what's the weirdest thing you've eaten at first, you know, like at 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning?
Well, probably, you know, like when everyone, when they were a student, remembers eating something, you know, something that has been in the fridge. It's that Tom Waits thing, isn't it? You go out one night, you come back 3 weeks later, everything in the refrigerator has turned into a science project. I remember reading an interview with The Clash, in which The Clash claimed that they were so hard up for money at one point in their career that they ended up eating wallpaper paste.
That can't be true.
I know. It can't be true.
No, that's got to be, okay, let's just spin a line to a gullible NME journalist.
Like, you know, I know somebody, this is true, that this is absolutely true. I know somebody who was once so hungry they ate a cigarette.
Really? That's really the
really?
Truth.
Yeah, that was, well, it was at university and it was, you know, it was.
They must have been drunk or high or something.
Oh, yeah, no. I imagine they were in an advanced state of refreshment in many ways. But
yes, because wallpaper paste is the kind of, you know, if I'd have accepted the invite to go on I'm a Celebrity down in the jungle, that's the kind of thing that you would be given a vat of, you know, and there's, you know, spiders in there and it's wallpaper paste, over to you. Well, yeah, if it's good enough for The Clash, it's good enough for me. Rock and roll food.
Sometimes, like in the middle of the night, you go back to old comfort food. My old comfort food when I was a kid, what I used to really, really like was Branston pickle on burnt toast. That was my favorite thing.
Bit of cheese?
No. Just the Branston pickle. So literally Branston pickle, butter, burnt toast. But the toast had to be burnt.
Really, like properly burnt, or like stink the house out burnt, or just, you know, slightly black?
Well, remember, this was in the days when I was a kid, so there weren't such things as fire alarms. You could burn a piece of toast in your house and the house wouldn't, you know, start sounding like a Blackpool fairground ride. It would just, you know, a mum would come down and go, have you been burning toast again? You go, no. Really?
That's said in the tone of, have you been playing with your Mr. Happy again? No. I quite like blackened pizza, you know, a crust that's slightly charcoaly.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, also, I had a my other great thing when I was a kid was my mum used to throw out bread. You know, if the bread had gone, like, you know, past its whatever it was, she'd throw it out for the birds. And then if the birds didn't have it, because actually weren't many birds, our neighbour, Mrs. Next Door, had a cat, and so the birds never came anyway. I would go out into the garden and gather up the bits of stale bread and eat them because I thought they tasted lovely. I thought, yeah, when you're what? A kid, this you know, like when you're a kid, stuff. Like wood tastes lovely, doesn't it? You know, or
no,
yes, you know, kids eat anything. That's what we were always told. You know, the main danger of kids is make sure there's nothing they can swallow because they will just swallow wow. anything.
I thought being Peter from Germany was odd, but you going out in the garden and eating discarded stale bread, not just discarded by your mother, but discarded by the birds. That's weird. Anyway, a couple of weird people here talking about, we'll do, it's another take two. Anyway, we thought it's a good time because we had a little assessment here and being quite good at calendar maths, we realized that we're almost three quarters of the way through the year.
Wow.
So which means that we're almost done on a quarter of this century, which is a scary thing. Anyway, so we've asked you in the style of the weekend watch list for the top five and bottom three. I don't know why we can't have a top three and bottom five, but anyway, that's we're being more positive. We're biased to the positive.
Yeah.
Top five and bottom three. So Charlie McGiven went first. His favorite five films of the year. I guess that's what we're saying. It's your favorite.
So far.
Dune Part 2 at number one, Civil War at number two, Challengers at number three, Monkey Man at number four, and Hitman at number five. That's
you should read these in reverse order, really.
Okay.
I mean, you've just done that in a bit, but, you know, do them 3, 2, 1, you know, like Poptastic, tippity pop pop, mates, you know.
His least appreciated films. Number three is The Watched. Number two is Lift. And number one is Madame Web, which I don't think this is a spoiler. It crops up quite a lot in these lists. Russell Bailey, for his top five, for Mark, then in reverse order. At five, Hitman. Four, Furiosa, A Mad Max Saga. Three, All of Us Strangers. Two, The Holdovers. One, River. So does The Holdovers count as this year?
It is. Don't you remember? The whole point was it opened in January.
Okay.
It was that really mad thing when it was the great Christmas movie. When does it open? January.
It's true. I remember it all now.
Completely stupid.
There's bottom three. Number three, The Boys in the Boat. Number two, Argyle. Number one, Unfrosted. Richard Mark Bradley. Thank you for sending all these in. In reverse order. Poor Things. Furiosa, A Mad Max Saga. Three, Love Lies Bleeding. Two, Dune Part Two. And number one, The Zone of Interest. Again, I've kind of bracketed that as last year.
Yeah, but no, this year.
And his worst films, Argyle at three, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire at two, and Seize Them at number one. Do one more before Mark explains the truth. thanks to Drew and his top five. Number five, The Iron Claw. Four is Poor Things. Three is Late Night with the Devil. Two is Monkey Man. And number one is The Holdovers. And his least favorite films, Damsel at three, Miller's Girls at two, and Argyle at number one. I think most of my favorite films have been mentioned there. But yes. So here is Mark's authoritative director's cut on the best and worst of the year so far.
Now, do you want top 10 or top 5 best? Because I can do you either.
Why don't you excite us with your own... I don't mind, really. Just go for it.
All right. Well, look, some of the movies that opened that I think were really good that didn't make the top 10. Silver Haze, brilliant. Raging Grace, great. Priscilla, really liked it. Dune Part 2, which has turned up in a number of people's things. Your Fat Friend, the documentary. Bernal and Adama, that was great. Civil War, which I know you absolutely loved. Evil Does Not Exist. Monkey Man, we had a great interview with Deb Patel. Made in England, the films of Powell and Pressburger. Challengers, In Flames, Furiosa, Mad Max film. Mad Max Saga, Horde, The Bike Riders, all of those were great. If I had to do a top 10, which I did, that was literally my job. Number 10, Someone's Daughter, Someone's Son, which is a really good documentary about homelessness. And the reason I like it so much is because I think it's a film with a positive message, not a film that says, you know, this is just terrible. It's a film seen from the point of view of somebody who has experienced homelessness as well. Number nine, occupied city. Certainly a challenge. And you did a really great interview with the filmmakers. And it is definitely a challenging movie, but I think it's an important film. Number eight, a personal favorite of yours, Simon, Kinds of Kindness. And you'll be
really?
Pleased.
To,
yes.
Oh,
really.
My goodness me.
You'll be pleased to know that this is the first of two entries by Yorgos Lanthimos in my top 10 movies of the year. This is up to the first half of the year. So this goes up to June the 30th. Okay. So it's literally the first half of the calendar year. Number seven, The Beast, because it was so remarkable, so strange, so unexpected, and great performances by George Mackay and Lea Seydoux. And I thought it was just breathtakingly audacious. Number six, The Holdovers, the best Christmas movie to be released in January. Number five, Scala, the documentary, Scala !! which is such a joyous documentary about the Scala cinema and, you know, the whole late night cinema scene. Number four, All of Us Strangers, which just broke my heart. I thought it was so wonderful, and I've seen it a couple of times now, and I just loved it. Number three, Zone of Interest. Again, you know, if you, the interview is still up there, and, you know, a really interesting way of approaching that subject in a way that's not exploitative. Great performances, really profoundly moving. Number two, the second Yorgos Lanthimos, Poor Things. And at number one, my favorite film of the year, first half of the year, up to you know, June 30th or whatever it is, Love Lies Bleeding, which I just thought was a total knockout from beginning to end. Just loved it.
I would say that, I mean, yours is the list that matters because you see absolutely everything. But of the stuff that I saw, my favorite ones of the year would be Furiosa, Zone of Interest, Holdovers, Monkey Man, Dune Part 2, and Civil War at number one. I would say that.
And all of those.
That's a pretty good first half, isn't
it? Yeah, I know. And so when people say, oh, cinema's in the doldrums, is it? Really? Is it? And as further proof of that, I found it much harder to construct my list of least favorite films because, you know, there are very few films that really deserve, you know, the kind of the attention of being kicked around. However, I did manage to come up with a list. I've got to say that Horizon, An American Saga Chapter One, was floating around the lower end of it. And I take no pleasure in this. There was a thing that Stephen King said on social media about, I can't understand people. Is the word schadenfreude, is that taking pleasure in other people's failure?
Yeah. Well, yes, it's enjoying other people's.
Yeah. And the idea that anyone
misfortune.
Would take. Fine. The idea that anyone would take pleasure in the kind of relative box office failure of Horizon, I don't take any pleasure in it at all, and it's not in my top 10, but it is, I think, a very, very failed film. So I'll do a top five, but I'll tell you the ones that are kind of kicking around on the outside of it. I thought Freud's Last Session was a load of old tosh, really. I mean, there were some nice things in it, but lordy mama, had they all overdosed on acting pills. Kung Fu Panda 4. Why? Just why is that there? I mean, I know why it's there.
Because it makes money, I would say.
Pretty much it. Bad Boys Ride or Die. Why? I mean,
ditto.
Again, it's just, just because it's there. I didn't care for Godzilla X Kong or Godzilla Times Kong or Godzilla Kong, as Linda Marek told me, you know, it should rightly be called, but you know, it's just one of those things, isn't it? It's like, I don't understand it, but, and I absolutely don't know what the heck Ghostbusters Frozen Empire was doing anywhere at all. I mean, I just thought it was complete nonsense. However, that means that when we get into the bottom five, it goes like this.
Oh yes.
At five, Madam Web. Unsurprisingly, I think universally accepted as being a completely dismal film. And when its star was on Saturday Night Live, she said, doesn't matter, no one's seen it, which is absolutely the right way to deal with that. So, Madam Web. Number four, Drive Away Dolls. And I, Driveway Dolls almost should be higher, because for a film that should have been a good film, you know, made by a Coen with an interesting cast, it was just completely so full of itself and so annoying. I'm surprised it hasn't turned up on other people's lists, but that may well be because they simply didn't get to see it. So that's number, what did I do? I've done number five, number four, yes. So number three, Rebel Moon Part Two. Just about as dull as it is possible for a film to be. And believe me, this, I only saw that because people kept writing in asking me to review it. And I thought they were writing in asking me to review it because it would make me reassess my opinion of the first one. And it did. It made me think that the first one was less terrible than this. At number two, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2. Wasn't funny the first time. Absolutely wasn't funny the second time. And apparently the Pooniverse, or as we are calling it here, the Crapniverse, is going to expand because somehow there's a market for it. But at number one, the worst movie of the year so yes. far, first six yes. months, is yes. a film that was actually made 5 years ago and only finished in the wake of the success of The Pope's Exorcist, yes, stand-up Russell Crowe in The Exorcism. Far and away the stupidest film I have seen in a very, very, very long time.
Is it worth me watching it just to enjoy what it is, or will I feel as though I have wasted my life?
You will feel your brain getting smaller as you watch it. You will actually okay. feel your IQ dropping.
In which case, I might just give it a miss.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Dee, for sending in all. This is not addressed at you. This is addressed at our list.
Everyone. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Dee, for sending in your best and worst movies. A project I suspect that we'll return to when we get to the end of 2024.
We shall.
Thank you very much indeed for listening. There'll be another take with you very shortly. Correspondence@kermitandmayo.com.